watch night service, we call it. And, you know, I have just a few minutes, all right? The main speaker will come after. But I want, you know, I want to share some thoughts that I think that if we ponder it, it will do us well if we have the chance to get into 2024 and as we sojourn through it, given that God, according to God's plan. And as it is the last day of the year, I want to bring some thoughts from the last book of the Bible. That's all right? So what is that? The book of Revelation. And I want to highlight that the last book of the Bible, you know, was written to Christians. And, you know, we talk about the seven churches in Asia. So there were seven churches in Asia, and the inspired writer, you know, directed a message to these different churches located in Asia. So not only am I going to take some thoughts from the last book, but I want to bring some thoughts from the last letter or the last church to which John wrote. And he wrote to the church in Laodicea. In Revelation chapter 3, he introduces and directs some thoughts. And I want us to pick up there. Do I have a read? Yes, good. So in Revelation chapter 3, and if we pick up at verse 14, because he wrote to the church in Ephesus, and he wrote to the church in Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis. Then he directed some instructions to the church in Philippi, and then to the church in Laodicea. And so in verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3, it says,
"And unto the church, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness,
yes,
the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works.
I know thy works.
That thou art neither cold nor hot.
That you are neither cold nor hot.
I would thou wert cold
I
or
would,
hot.
I would want that you are either cold or hot.
So then, because thou art lukewarm."
Because you are lukewarm, what does that mean? You are neither.
And neither cold nor
neither
hot.
Neither cold nor hot.
I will spew thee
I
out.
I will spew thee out of my mouth. And this is one of the thoughts I want to leave with us. That the Almighty God don't want us to be lukewarm. And I'm speaking now to both our visitors and those of us who are Christians. God does not want us to be lukewarm. You know, not even so much that he wants us to be cold either. You know? He wants us to be active in his work. But it's almost like he prefers that we are cold more than lukewarm. So it is that if we are lukewarm, the consequence is that God is going to spit us out of his mouth. So let's be practical with this now. So here it is that on a watch night service, we have found ourselves in this place. So we are not really totally anti-God. But of the 365 days, we don't want it that it is only 1, 3 or so days that you seek to worship God. That's lukewarm. Amen. So what we are saying here is that God, in his writing to the church in Laodicea, is saying, I don't want you to be a fenke fenke pia pia servant. I want you to be hot. I want you to be active in serving me. We were made, we were designed, we were potted to serve the Almighty God. And so God is saying, I don't want you to be lukewarm. In fact, I want you to be hot. But don't be lukewarm. Don't be this half and half type of person as you serve me. In fact, I don't want you to be like that. I would prefer that you are cold, because at least in that state you recognize that you are not what you should be. But when you are just faking it, when you are just, you know, going as if you are hot, but really you are not doing anything. So as Christians, and this is going to be one of the takeaway, as Christians, it is not sufficient for us to just come out to worship. It is not just okay for us to just appear when the church meets, but we need to be active in the work of the Lord. It is not sufficient, visitors and friends, to say, well, I have been at church at some point. It is not sufficient to say, I believe that there is a God. But are you serving? Are you committed to the Almighty God? So here it is, and let's not miss this now, because I came to Revelation. It's the last book. We have been zeroing in on the last church, Laodicea, that the apostle that John wrote to. Notice that he wrote to the church in Laodicea. And someone says, well, you see, he's writing to the church. Well, let us not get confused. When he writes to the church, it has implications for the individual. Let us not get lost in the crowd, because he wrote to the church, but he has a message for the individual. Let me take 2 minutes to highlight that the church is the body of Christ. Let me use a few seconds to highlight that Jesus Christ established and built one church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 tells us that, well, go to that passage for me. So Jesus Christ promised while he was on earth that he will build his church. You are there? Matthew chapter 16 verse 18, read for me.
And I say also unto thee,
yes,
that thou art Peter.
Thou art Peter.
And upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell.
So the background here is that Jesus was around his apostles and he was disciples, and he was saying, you know, who people saying that I am? Yeah. You know, some person would say, well, you're Elias, and you are one of the prophets. And then he turned and said, well, who do you say that I am? You know, just like today, you know, you talk to a person and say, well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Catholic, I'm a Jehovah Witness. But Jesus is saying that, what he said? Upon this rock, because Peter had just declared a truth.
Amen.
That was a fundamental truth to any of us being saved. What did he say?
I will build my church.
Well, verse 16. When Jesus Christ asked in verse 15, who say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said, thou
art the Christ.
Art the Christ.
The Son of the living
Son
God.
The Son of the living God. That's a truth. We cannot get salvation without acknowledging the truth of Jesus being the Son of God. And I tell you a little bit more, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. He came to save us because there's nothing that we could do to save ourselves. And upon this truth, you know, Jesus was apparently very satisfied with what he heard from Peter, because he said what? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in
heaven.
Heaven. And then this is where you were now, brother. Verse 18.
And I say also unto thee
that thou art Peter,
and upon this rock,
and upon this rock, upon this truth that you have just echoed, upon the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I will build my churches.
Church.
I will build my church. Singular.
Amen.
I will build my,
church. Church.
So Jesus Christ is saying that he has built a church and it belongs to him. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against them.
It
shall not prevail against it. Because Jesus Christ built one church. Who built it? Jesus Christ. It is his church. That church is the body of Christ.
Amen.
So when we consider the church, we have to recognize that Christ built one church. Then somebody's saying, but Brother Webb, you have me all confused down here, because you started the message saying that John wrote to seven churches, and you're talking about the last one, and now all of a sudden you're talking about one church. What is happening here? Well, Jesus Christ built one church, but that church exists in different locations. But it is one church following one set of guidelines that are written in the New Testament. Talking about last, God has, well, you know, there were different dispensations. You know, we had the dispensations of the fathers, you know, the patriarchal age. We had the dispensation of Moses and the Israelites, the Mosaical age. Now we are in the Christian age, the last age. This is the age that we have to pay attention, because I'm not coming after this.
Man.
So that's another last that we're talking about here on the last hour of the last day of 2023. But not only that, we have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. That's another last. But let's get back focus here. Christ has built one church. But though he has built one church, Christians know, Jesus Christ expects us to serve him in a specific location.
Amen.
Jesus Christ recognizes that while we are a part of the body of Christ universally, that we are a part of a local congregation.
Amen.
So we cannot be members, well, you know, in the case of the persons in Revelation, you don't have a person being a member of the church in Smyrna, and at the same time, he is a member of the congregation in Sardis. You are in one. Because there are certain things that we have to do to keep a relationship with Christ. And so you can't just be going hopping all over. Yes, we are associated with the church overall. And because we speak the same thing, we refer to the same New Testament, then we will practice and we will do the same things. But when we talk about visitation, then we are expected to focus that within our location, within our body. Brother Webb, you mean I can't go and visit a church brother or sister in another congregation? No. That's not what we're saying. You can't. But when it talks about visiting, when it talks about focusing our attention on evangelism, then we should do this under the direction and the guidance of our local congregation. So what are we seeing? The church is established, but the church exists in different locations, and we as individuals, we make up the church. We make up the church universally, but we are a member of a particular congregation in a particular location. And so we need now to recognize that when, for example, Jesus through John writes to the church in Laodicea, don't think I've forgotten where I am. When he speaks to the church in that location, he's not speaking just to the church. He's speaking to the individuals in the church. So can we come back and refocus on what John had to say about the church in Laodicea? So we are back in Revelation. And in verse 15 of chapter 3, it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, church in Laodicea, as a congregation, Christ, heaven, saw Laodicea as a lukewarm church. But let me tell you, even though he was criticizing the church, he was also speaking to the members in Laodicea. And so, I want to encourage us as we embark on a new year, let that not be the statement concerning the church in Patrick Gardens. Oops. Let that not be the statement and the verdict concerning me, concerning you, the member of this local congregation. I would rather that you were cold or hot. Because you are neither cold or hot, because you are lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. What do we see as our status? Well, I admit I'm not as hot as I need to be for Christ. But me not cold. Well, that means you're lukewarm. Well, what will be the outcome? You will be spewed out. God sees you as insipid. You ever eat some insipid food? You say, my God, you just can't swallow it. You just have to spit it. If anybody's going to see you in that way, you don't want it to be God. And so that is something that we have to take. But watch this. Sometimes we have a false impression of ourselves. Verse 17. Because thou sayest,
I am rich.
Sometimes we think we are rich.
And
you take some of us, you know, and you say, I'm rich spiritually. You know, because I am leading a satisfactory life. You know, I have a little car. You know, I can rent somewhere in a relatively nice place, or buy somewhere. It might not be in the nicest place I want it, but it's mine. Or may I pay a mortgage for it? You know, some sort of all right. You know, so because I'm rich and because I have I'm increasing goods, and you know, I can find food. You know, me not really are hungry. Me can buy my patty. You know, I'm a cocoa bread. So things are gone. You know, so you know, there's a time when you eat patty and cocoa bread, because you don't have no money. You know, say I buy a cheap lunch. Whatever, fine. So if you buy patty and cocoa bread, that's a heavy lunch. You know, money lunch that these days. But I have need of nothing. Sometimes we have a false sense of satisfaction. Sometimes because we get a little bit of the material things of life, we think we are all right. Sometimes we equate us getting things in life to that God is blessing me. God is favoring me. You know, you see, may a God pick me. That's why we have these things. So we feel that not just satisfied materially, but we somehow now start to equate our material gains with spiritual gains. But let's wake up. Because the passage goes on to say,
"And knowest not that thou art wretched."
So at the same time that you think that you are all of that, you know not that you are in the sight of God wretched
and miserable.
Miserable
and poor.
Poor
and blind.
Blind
and naked.
Naked. That's in the sight of the Almighty God. So we need to get our things in order, because sometimes how we see self, sometimes we have a false sense of self. But let me hasten, as I try to close, to highlight that because God loves us, you know that? God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he says in verse 19,
As many as I love,
I rebuke,
and chasten. Be zealous, therefore.
Don't be lukewarm anymore.
Be zealous.
Inspiration is saying, be zealous.
And repent.
Let us be hot. Let us be active for Almighty God. Let us be zealous. Let us repent. Remember earlier we said, you know, it's good to believe that Jesus Christ is God. But let us move beyond just belief. Let us now repent, visitors. Let us take that next step towards pleasing the Almighty God.
Amen.
Christians, if we recognize that we have been cold and we recognize that we have been lukewarm, let us make this a turning point. Amen. Let us be zealous for the Almighty God. Let us recognize that that state of lukewarmness is a state that we need to repent of. Amen. It is not something that is okay.
That's right.
We need to make a change. We need to feel sad about it. We need to move to a situation where when it comes to things about God, the church, Christianity, that we are people of zeal. That is what God wants of us. You know, time won't allow me to compare with Sardis, but just let me just say that just as how the Almighty God would have said to the church in Sardis, that's another congregation, and he says, "You livest, but you are dead." We can be in the church, but not really alive as Christians. So let us, but he moved on and he says in to that congregation, he says, there are a few names And that's really the point I want to make here. Reemphasize that while John was writing to the church, he was seeing the individual. I have a few names even in Sardis. So, you know, persons who have not defiled their garments, he sees the individual. And so, as a congregation, it is important that we lead the congregation properly. But as individuals, we have to make sure that we know what the expectation that God has of us. And that we work it. Because while God looks at the congregation, he also sees the individual. Amen. So as I close, for probably the entire year of 2023, every Sunday in the announcements, we say something to the nature, you know, it's not sufficient for you to just come to worship. It is important that we are active, that there are various ministries, there are different activities that you can do in the church. You know what is happening there? What we do as activities in this local congregation is not necessarily the very same things that another congregation, as close as St. Andrew is to us, St. Andrew Church of Christ, some of their activities will be different because that congregation has a character of its own, different from us. Are they serving the same God? Are they part of the same body of Christ? Yes. But when the local congregation organizes and says, well, according to the studying that we have done and at the stage that we are at, we think it is very important for us to, beyond our corporate worship on every Lord's Day, we have set up a special avenue for us to be able to study God's word. And we choose to meet not on a Monday, but on a Sunday morning. And we call that Sunday school because we have designed this so that we don't bundle everybody like a church service thing. We break it up into different classes because we have reasoned that we can reach and connect and share God's word effectively by age groups. And we have designated some Sunday school teachers to prepare themselves to spend hours in preparation so that when you sit into that class, you can learn. And at a very young age, from age of 4, you can start introducing God, the church. And as they move up, then they become Christians. And the adults can get a better understanding of what God's expectation is. So the church designs a Sunday school program. You know that God has an expectation that since that local congregation that you are associated with has done that, then you as a member of that congregation should make it your duty because you are not lukewarm. You are going to make it your duty to participate in that Sunday school program. If the church in its wisdom says, you know, in keeping with what we have seen in inspiration, that, you know, the older woman should teach the younger woman, and it can be done one-on-one, but the congregation in its wisdom and its leadership says, you know, we are establishing a ladies' ministry because there are issues to be discussed to allow the ladies to understand what God expects of them because of who they are and the type of skills that they can bring to the congregation to make it grow and to be one that God feels happy with, then it is your responsibility as a lady in the congregation to participate in that lady's ministry. That the men, and Brother Mitchell is given the responsibility. The thing Paul says to Timothy, the things that you have heard of me, commit them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So when Brother Mitchell could come and say, well, Brother Mary, come and check with me on a Monday at 11 o'clock. Brother Webb, you come and check with me at 12 o'clock on a Tuesday. You know, Brother O'Shane, come and check with me every Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. Give you that time. He would have been fulfilling his responsibility. But the congregation has established that on a particular day, the men are going to come together so that some of this information can be shared. What's my point? When the local congregation has established this, then it is important that we make ourselves available. God has that expectation of us. I want you to be zealous. I don't want you to be hot. That's not true. I want you to be hot. I don't want you to be lukewarm. I wish you were either hot or cold. But I don't want you to be a fenke fenke, taste bad, insipid Christian. I want you to be active and zealous in the work of the Lord. Why am I bringing up this? We are at a pivotal point. New beginning. Let us, as we embark on 2024, take up this challenge as Christians, as part of the body of Christ, to be zealous for him. My time is gone. All right, I need to give Brother Mitchell more time. All right, so, but let me leave this thought to our visitors. If you are to be pleasing to the Almighty God, you need to be a part of the body of Christ. You know, it is obvious by your being here that you believe in God. But we want you to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That God has a plan to redeem man, and that plan included Jesus Christ dying on Calvary for you and me, to deal with our sin that we could not handle. There's nothing we could do to deal with our sin problem. Believing, you know, saying, being able to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, confessing him, is an important step in the process of salvation. We spoke earlier of repenting. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You know, God sees you as sort of nothing, you know, cold. You're not serving him when you're outside of Christ. But let's own him up. But you know, we can't complete that relationship with God until we see baptism coming in the picture. Because while Christ died, he was buried and was resurrected. You know, you observed some of the Christians partaking of the Holy Communion earlier. You know, the Christians take that because we are told every first day of the week to remember one of the most significant things, or the most significant thing about Christianity, Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Why have I brought this up? Do you know that it is in baptism that we come in contact with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? When we go under that water, that's a burial. Having been convicted and put to death sin, you know, in that repentance, we are buried with him. And then when we come up, a new life begins. A life where we when God looks at us, he's happy with us. You know, because we continue faithfully, not lukewarm, but faithfully to the Almighty God. I leave this message with you, a message that has come from the last book of the Bible, a message that has come, you know, from the thoughts written to the last church, Laodicea, that was written to. But as we talk about last, let us realize that the last and our actions that we do today will mark the beginning of 2024, if God gives us a few more minutes. But not just for 2024, but for the rest of our lives. God bless you.